Well, good morning and welcome into Big Orange Sunday, brought to you, as you just heard, by Wilson Bank and Trust, Middle Tennessee's community bank. Let's start by saying happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. Would be, gonna be, have been. Great day. I'm sure many of you will be doing like me, spending time with your family and your sons and daughters today. Well, Vol Baseball in Omaha, Alan Cockle is going to join us here in just a couple of minutes, bring us up to date. Vols play today at 1 o'clock Central Time. By the way, 104.5 The Zone covering that game if you're in your car. It's also on ESPN2. The coverage, Tennessee coverage, starts at 12:45. Again, that Central Time game at 1 o'clock Virginia. Again, Alan Cockle will join us here in just a second. Topics we're going to talk about today. One of the things that baseball really pointed out to me this year, re-pointed out to me, sometimes we forget, is the importance of game day events on the Hill at the University of Tennessee. The Super Regional and the Regional Baseball and Lindsey Nelson, it really reminded me, hopefully us, how hugely important it is, game day and athletics at the University of Tennessee. The tailgating, the pregame pageantry, all that. Again, I'm going to discuss that a little bit later. Again, baseball helped bring that back. Hopefully that's something, and I think realistically it's something we can expect to expand and grow back at the University of Tennessee. I mentioned last week the mix of transfer portal recruits and high school recruits. I'm going to flesh that out a little bit today going forward. In all likelihood, what's going to be the mix for this football program. This team will be a senior-led team next year. Discuss that, especially on a couple of different areas, key areas. Going to build, talk about building on what you're good at. What's Tennessee good at? What can we be good at? What do we know going into the season? What areas of this football team can be good? Those are what you need to build on. We'll discuss a few of those today. On-campus recruiting is really purring along. Camps, you know, visitors, families, we'll discuss that just a little bit. June workouts going on, how important are those, especially for this Tennessee offense? A lot to discuss as we go through the show today. But let's start with Alan Cockrell. Alan, back in Omaha today, got a big game against Virginia. First off, happy Father's Day, and how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Happy Father's Day to you, too. Doing well.
I know you got a lot going on over there. We're going to be talking about, once we get through all the baseball here, what Alan's been doing over in the Charlotte area from building baseball with a lot of the colleges around the country. But anyway, Alan, let's talk just a little bit. Yesterday, Vanderbilt comes back in the, 13th inning maybe? I watched a little bit of that ball game, beat Arizona. NC State continues to roll. How about the run that they're on after getting just thrashed in the first game in the Super Regional? They have really played well since then. Tennessee plays Virginia, Mississippi State, Texas today. Let's talk a little bit about the ball game today.
The Tennessee-Virginia game is going to be a good one. I believe we talked earlier, I believe Chad Dallas will start the game for Tennessee, who has been the Friday starter for Tennessee all year, so he'll get the nod. He has the most experience of any starter on the staff, so he should get game one. And Virginia is another interesting club. You know, we talked a little bit yesterday about North Carolina State, and I think I mentioned how they got off to a very slow start in the ACC. But then obviously started to peak at the right time. Well, Virginia kind of is the same type of club. I think they went 1-8 in their first 9 ACC series games, weekend games, and just looked like they were. It was just going to be a terrible year for Virginia. But the pitching basically kind of pulled them back together, and they're another club who started to gel towards the end of the year. And again, it's baseball is such a long season, and it's such a streaky game, you know. And if you start streaking at the right time and playing well at the right time, which obviously is towards the end of your conference and tournaments and seasons and into regionals and super regionals, then you can you can ride this thing out for a while. And that's exactly what Virginia's doing. They do, though, Doug. They do have a good pitching staff. I think they have a pitching staff who ranked in the top 10 or 15 in strikeouts as a whole, and have a pretty low team ERA as well. So Tennessee's going to have to move the ball around a little bit on offense and find some ways to grind out at bats. And to be honest with you, that's one of their trademarks. So this is going to be a great ball game today. Really good ball game to watch.
Alan, you've mentioned this a couple of times leading up to the regional, the super regional, of course, now with the College World Series. You know, the deeper you get, the better the pitching gets. That was on display yesterday. I watched a little bit of the Stanford North Carolina game, North Carolina State game, big throwers in that. And I watched three, four innings of the Vanderbilt Arizona game. Big arms there. That's going to continue today. And Tennessee's got some big arms themselves. So pitching. Now, one thing you mentioned yesterday, the park, since they've built a new park out in Omaha, you know, not a whole lot of home runs, a lot of space out there. We've had, I guess, because it all depends upon which way the wind's blowing, but we've had several home runs hit, but in the end, yesterday.
Yeah, there were. I'm watching a little bit of it too. And as I'm watching it, after I see it, like the eighth home run of the day hit, I'm thinking, well, I really showed what an idiot I was on Doug's show yesterday, because I said it wasn't going to be a home run ballpark. But normally it isn't. And honestly, if you get more towards the bigger part of the field, the gaps, and then into center field, a lot of balls hang up in that area. The balls that were hit out yesterday were primarily balls that were hit more toward the left and right field lines. But I'm just trying to cover for myself because I looked like I had no clue what I was talking about. But most years, they don't hit a lot of homers.
Well, the announcers mentioned that yesterday, too. To be honest, I don't watch a whole lot of College World Series over the years. I'm watching a little bit more of it today. But bottom line is, it still got down even yesterday. The Vanderbilt-Arizona game in particular got down to pitching there at the end. Yeah, 13 runs were scored, but got down to pitching on that. From what you're hearing, from what you're knowing, Tennessee seems to be going into this, have to have a lot of confidence. They have to. That looks like they're in really good shape, well rested in the pitching end of it. Do you expect anything different this series, particularly today, than what we've really seen the whole year?
I don't expect anything different. I think he's going to run out. I think he's going to run Chad Dallas out to start it, and I think he'll be followed by probably Hundley, maybe a situational lefty here and there. And I think he has the blueprint that he's used to this point has been a very effective one. He has some resilient arms in his bullpen, and he has some lefties who can come in and get some outs, and particularly a left-on-left type situation. But these kids, I mean, this is the time of year. I mean, everybody's all in right now, and it's all hands on deck. So whoever he asks to take the ball will be raring to take it and get on the mound and try to get some outs for Tennessee. I did see, by the way, Tennessee had a couple of new All-Americans mentioned on a different All-American team. Jake Rucker was mentioned as an All-American third baseman, I believe, by Baseball America. And there was another All-American team that came out. Liam Spence was on it, and I believe Chad Dallas was on it as well. So, and Tony Vitello was named the National Coach of the Year, as he very well should have been.
I was going to mention that just a little bit later, those are the guys who obviously, to get to an All-American status, have to play exceptionally well right now. Alan, this is a team, and you've touched on it as we've gone through the season, but this is a team that really has performed like a team. Good starting pitching, as you mentioned. I think every single start in conference play, you had three guys start all 10 games each in the 30 conference games. Same thing happened in the regional and the super regional. We expect the same thing to happen here, but there's been a lot of contributors to this, especially on the hitting part of it. A lot of key hits, some players that maybe not hitting quite for average that I'm sure they would like. But this is a team, you've used the word scrappy quite a bit, and they keep playing, and that's the one thing that's a little bit different about baseball, to me at least. You got 9 innings, and you really do have, whether you're up or down, you got to really do have to plan on playing 9 innings, because you just never know when those you're going to put together enough hits to get a few runs across the plate.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think Tennessee had 200-300 hitters on their squad this year. Their shortstop, Liam Spence, their third baseman, Jake Rucker, hit over 300, well over 300, and everybody else was under the 300 mark. But when you have a season like Tennessee's having, and you run through the SEC and play really well, which is an incredibly tough league at the college level. It is an incredibly tough league. Probably, I don't even think arguably the most difficult league to play in. You're going to get different guys who are going to step up, and Tennessee has throughout the year. They've had probably, in the amount of comeback wins that they've had, they've probably had 5 or 6 guys in their lineup who have been the guy who gets the big hit or hits the grand slam late in the ball game to walk it off. They've just got a number of guys. Lipsius has done it. The center fielder had a huge walk-off grand slam. Connor Pavlone starting to swing the bat really, really well and getting clutch hits. And honestly, that's what it takes. And I always go back to this, but our run in Colorado in 2007, we got to the month of September, and we were in fifth place. We were only 5 games back, but we were chasing 4 other ball clubs. So we basically, throughout the month of September, we couldn't afford to lose hardly even a ball game, and we didn't. We went 21-1 in the month, but it was a different guy who would step up and make a big play or get a big hit to drive in a winning run. It wasn't always Helton. It wasn't always Matt Holliday or Brad Hopp. It was different guys throughout our lineup who would pick the team up, and it happened on a nightly basis. And that's kind of where Tennessee is right now. They've got a lot of guys playing well with a lot of confidence, and they've got players whose maybe numbers aren't at the top of the league, but they're playing well and they're getting big hits in big situations, and that leads to championships.
Alan, one of the things that happens no matter where you are, at whatever level, when you're successful, you're going to get noticed, and certainly Coach Vitello has been noticed. A lot of job openings out there. I know you. I don't know how close you are to him. You certainly have conversed with him, talked to him a good bit. From everything that I'm hearing and reading and knowing about Danny White, they're going to do everything they can to keep him at the University of Tennessee. Seems extremely happy there, but we'll see exactly what happens on that. One thing, though, that we know is going to happen, and I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on this because you played in that park. You've also been there many times. We know we're going to see pretty significant changes in the stadium. Going to take a little while to get that done on that. Tennessee, you look at some things that you I remember talking to you about a little bit earlier on the show a couple of weeks ago. Indoor hitting facility, the practice area, maybe you think is as important to coaches as maybe the stadium is.
I do, and even more importantly, I think it's important for recruiting. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Arkansas all have incredible indoor facilities, and I think Arkansas has an area where it's a complete, it's like half a baseball diamond. And it's got a very, very, very high ceiling. It's a lot like Tennessee's football workout area with the full field in there. It's something similar to that, maybe not quite as long, but they can take a full BP and actually see ball flight, other than being rather than being just in a 70 by 25 cage, maybe 30 feet high. I mean, this thing's 70, 80 feet high. You can actually see the ball flight coming off your bat. So things like that are really, really important for recruiting. Now, I have heard some thoughts and some ideas about what Tennessee was possibly going to add, and if they can get it done, it'll be huge for the program. I think they want to put a visitors' locker room in. They want to allow room and space to put in visiting side cages, so you don't have to share cages on inclement weather days when both teams need to hit inside in the cage. I heard that they were going to put in some ex-Tennessee players who are now pro players, put in lockers for those guys to be able to come back to Tennessee and work out. And I think that's a fantastic idea for your players and your program to be around guys who went through the SEC at Tennessee, are now playing in professional baseball. They can interact with those kids in the wintertime and even late in fall when the pro guys are done. And then I heard they wanted to add some seating above that building, on top of that building. And I think the plans that I've heard to add to the Tennessee program in terms of things outside of just putting in the big corporate boxes and things, I think they have a good idea. I don't know exactly what Tennessee is capable of handling seating wise, but I think they've got some ideas to add some seating, but also add some amenities on the other side, and so Tennessee side will be Tennessee side. I've been in Tennessee's indoor facility, and honestly, Doug, I mean it's far better than good enough. It's not what Ole Miss has or Mississippi State or Arkansas, but it's really good, and it's very efficient with what they have. I don't know if Tennessee has the Rapsodos and the hit tracks and the different things that different schools have, but if they don't, maybe they could add something like that. And again, that makes it very conducive to go out and show recruits that, you know, we're on par with these other programs. So I think it would be important if they could upgrade in those areas and let the recruits see that money's being spent there. And, you know, winning breeds a lot of attention from outside people. And you know, when it gets right down to it, I mean, who doesn't want to wear orange? I mean, that's a very unique color. I always, even in football, I loved it when we wore orange on orange against Alabama in some of our big games. That was, you know, that's a very unique color to take the field in, and people can identify with Tennessee because Tennessee's orange and white. That's our colors.
Well, one of the things too that a big thing that the athletic director has made very, very clear is, A, I don't think there's any question there's going to be a major, essentially, I would put it this way. I think whatever Coach Vitello wants, he's going to get. I don't think money's going to be a problem. I don't know if that's all that important to him. Not that it's not, but there's other things more important. I think he fully sees now, this is his, what, fourth year at Tennessee, fully sees where Tennessee baseball can go. And he's got an athletic director. You know, they got a $500 million a fundraising campaign that's ongoing right now, the My All campaign, that certainly is going to hit a lot of that. And baseball has become extremely important up there. The other good part of it is, too, Alan, I know that you don't spend a lot of time in Tennessee, but there are baseball, youth baseball, and high school at the high school level, outstanding baseball, especially in the middle of CNE and they have Knoxville. I know one of Tennessee's or Vanderbilt starters was from Knoxville, so it's a great area to recruit in. I know that that Coach White's going to do everything that he can to make it even better. And I'm kind of talking off the top of my head on this. I have no idea. Coach Vitello may be as happy as a lark there. I'm assuming he probably is. But bottom line is that the facilities are going to get upgraded. Not that they're all that bad right now. Attendance, I've talked to a couple of people up there. You you know, probably, and I think this is probably true for most coaches, you know, the number of seats are, is kind of overrated. You're never going to be the biggest. How many is big enough? But I think that's all going to be handled. We talked a little bit last week. It's going to be interesting to see how Tennessee, what they do. You know, they got a room problem. They got the railroad situation, track situation, and they got the river there close. There's been some talk about maybe moving the stadium. I don't think that's going to happen. But anyway, I think bottom line is that whatever Coach Vitello wants, he's probably going to get. And one thing that Dr. White, Danny White, mission was when they in the press conference, this was a little bit off the cuff, but I don't think all off the cuff. They asked him about what he was going to do from a baseball facility, and he said essentially whatever the head baseball coach wants. So anyway, be interesting to see.
Yeah, that's all good to hear, and I think I listened to the end of your segment before I came on, and you were talking about, you know, the stadium staying on campus. I like that idea. I think that, you know, I don't think Tennessee will add more seats than they actually need. And whatever they add, I think they're going to continue to play well, and I think they're going to continue to pack that stadium. And we all know what type of fans Tennessee has. They're very loud. They're very, very much behind their team. So, you know, even if it's 5,000 capacity, or 4,500 capacity, and Tennessee fills it, it's a very, very loud crowd. It's a very tough crowd to play in. And I love the idea of it remaining on campus. I think that it draws the students more to follow the team and support the team. And I think it's just that's part of the college experience. You play your college games on campus and you're a student athlete, so they come to watch you play. And I just think that that's all part of the whole college experience. And I would really hope that they would keep everything right there where it is and just try to add around it. You're right. There's not a lot of room behind it. There's a couple of roads back there that you can't really expand from. So, you know, it is what it is, but there are areas and ways where I think they could add a little bit and then maybe add a little bit to the bells and whistles that's underneath and behind the scenes. That's more driven more for the amenities of players and opposing teams. And I think that will be good. I think that'll be enough to show recruits that Tennessee has, a lot of respect for the baseball program and what Coach Vitello and his staff have done there.
Well, I know there's been a lot of work on master plans for the last several years for the whole athletic complex. I don't think there's, and I don't even know if it has even been brought up in a serious manner by the administration at Tennessee on moving the stadium there. There's some talk about that, having a city stadium on that. I doubt seriously if that happens. You know, one thing, Alan, you know, maybe a lot of the people listening to the show have probably certainly been on campus, but it's really kind of the closeness of really almost all the facilities there now. If you take the track, you get Tom Black track very close. You got the academic, you know, the Thornton Center sitting right there in the in kind of the end zone, if you will. Then you got you got Thompson Bowling that's close. Baseball, football stadium not all that far away. Shoot, we used to walk down to practice down there. So anyway, right. There's a lot of great, a lot of neat things about that. I doubt seriously that's kind of unique on many college campuses right now. And I doubt seriously if that's changed much at all. Alan, tell me what you expect today. We've got about a minute here left in the segment. Appreciate you being on. Of course, we'll be talking next week in detail about it. One thing that I guess I realized this, but I forgot, or it didn't really just set in a whole lot. Tell you what, this World Series thing, this is what, an 8-9 day event?
It's a long event. It's a long event, and winning game one in this tournament, this first bracket tournament, is, again, you have to treat it like you treated it in the regional tournament, coming right out of SEC tournament. So you want to win game one, and it's so beneficial to win game one. You get in that loser's bracket, and you can run through some arms in a hurry. And then you get through that, and you win that. Now you got to play a best of three, which is like a conference weekend series. So, it takes depth. Obviously, you have to play well, but it takes a huge amount of depth in the area of pitching for whoever wins this. They're going to have the most reliable arms who can get outs, and that's just the way it works. Over the years, Vanderbilt has always had a lot of depth in their pitching, and that's one of the reasons why they're the reigning national champs. I think Oregon State, a few years ago, they were in the same boat. They had a first round catcher, they had a first round second baseman, but they had some very, very reliable arms to come in and get outs for them. And then they had some younger players towards the end of the tournament who stepped up and gave them huge, huge innings. And Tennessee's going to need to get the same thing. Anybody who wins this is going to need to get something from someone they haven't gotten from them all year.
Strong gauntlet to go through, but everybody's got to get through it, and everybody's got to go through it, the winners at least.
That's right.
Donald Crockle, thanks so much. Talk to you next Saturday and, of course, next Sunday on Big Orange Sunday.
Thanks, Doug. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Alan Cocker, again, coverage starts here on the Zone, 12:45. That's 15 minutes Central Time we're talking about here. 15 minutes before the first pitch. That'll probably be a little late, as most games are. But anyway, Tennessee, Virginia, ESPN 2, 1 o'clock, and you can hear it right here starting at 12:45 on 104.5 The Zone. Hey, if you're a truck person, you most likely are a Ford truck person. And if you're a Ford truck person, you're unquestionably in this area a mid-10 Ford truck person. Mid10trucks.com. There's such truck people that they got it in their website address. If you're looking for anything from, one of the smaller trucks, they're like a Ford Ranger. That's what I drive. They got some new Ford's got some new trucks coming out, by the way, if you haven't noticed that, coming out here in the near future. But whether it be a small truck like the Ranger, whether it be the anything up through the 150 all the way up through the heavy duties, that's what Mid-10 Ford is all about. They are truck people. The Boyd family is truck people. Yep, they sell some SUVs, a few other things, but they're truck people. Got a parts and service department. You need your truck worked on, automobiles too, but truck work on, that's what they're known for. They got a collision center. They got a paint center. Anything you need done to your vehicle, they can handle it. Check out their website, all they can do, at mid10trucks.com. And thanks to Alan Cockle for joining us and talking ball baseball. Certainly we'll have more to talk about next Sunday on Big Orange Sunday. Couple of things I was going to get into today. I got a stack of stuff I'm going to be talking about going in future shows. of course, baseball is certainly going to be part of that. But several topics I wanted to get into today. Maybe not in sequence of importance, maybe. But one of the things, and it really does humor me when I hear some of some of the talk that I hear. There's no question that Tennessee, certainly football, has been at a pretty low point here for quite a while now. Not terrible, terrible, but certainly not anywhere near what Tennessee fans are used to. And the talk that I hear sometimes and read and listen to and other people talking and saying things, writing things about where Tennessee is and the fan base and all that, that's what really brings humor to me. One of the things that I was fortunate when I coached at Tennessee those 10 years, my main recruiting area, my in-state recruiting area, was from about Cookeville, Tennessee, all the way over to Memphis. And so I covered a good chunk of this state. And during that period of time, I got to meet a lot of Tennessee people. I've said this many times, I always believe this. The further you get away from Knoxville and Knox County, especially going west, the more fervent the Tennessee fans are. Now, a lot of that was because back at that time, many of them didn't have an opportunity to get up to Knoxville. They didn't go to see many games. There weren't a whole lot of games on TV back then. That's why John Ward is such a revered person in this complete state. But the fan base of Tennessee is a huge fan base. And I continue to see it and hear that. And what Tennessee needs to do football-wise, we need to get back to playing good football, recruiting well, which can happen and does happen and will happen, hopefully is happening now, and get back to playing just good football. I've always said this about Tennessee fans, the great majority. You know, they may not know exactly the techniques and all these different things you're trying to get done, but they know when a team lines up right. They know when a team plays with effort. They know when a team is makes silly, stupid mistakes, and that beats coaches and players. They're intelligent in that part. They're intelligent football fans. I have absolutely no doubt that Tennessee, as soon as we turn this thing around, and hopefully we've got it turned somewhat around, this fan base is too huge. And I was reminded of that watching the regional and the super regional, just watching the fans during the game that were in the stadium or outside the stadium. And it brought back to me how important the game day events are up on the hill. Many of you I know feel probably the same. And listen, I'm sure it happens other places. I've traveled around. I've been to Notre Dame for a football game. I see what their fan base does. I've been to LSU. I've been to Florida, Gainesville. I've been to most of them as a fan, not as a coach. And I've seen what those events happen. But being able to have the tailgating, the pregame pageantry, the fan interaction, all those different things are so, so important to Tennessee athletics and Tennessee football. And I think we're going to see that back again this year. There's a lot of excitement out there. I sit here in Middle Tennessee. There's a lot of excitement out there about where this program can go, because one thing I don't think you ever lose is you don't ever lose hope. And we know from history, Tennessee's had some bad periods in football during the years. Now, it's never been as long as this. We went the whole decade of the 70s without winning a conference championship. And we've gone a significantly long time now. We've gone two decades without winning it. But bottom line is the Tennessee fan base has always been there, and I know is still there. And that's what baseball kind of pointed out to me. A couple of other things just to kind of talk about a little bit. I mentioned last week the mix of transfer portal recruits and high school recruits. I did not get to go into that in great detail. This is what Coach Heupel and the staff are looking at right now. Nobody really knows, and I'm talking about in the inside people, the inside workings, the coaching staff. Nobody really knows exactly how this transfer portal is going to play out. They have a good idea. They have certainly a much better idea than I would have, but I have a general idea, and we see the direction it's going to go. We know that players are going to be able to leave anytime they want to, but we also know that there's going to be other players that are going to be leaving their schools that are going to want to come to the University of Tennessee. So that mix, and what's going to be interesting to me to see is this year we've – Tennessee has brought in either 8 or 9 transfer portal players. I'm not sure which one it is. I'm not sure exactly 8 or 9 I'm talking about. Sure, it's 8, could be 9. But bottom line is that was what was needed this year. Well, you only get 25. So over 30% of this year's signing class will be transfer portal players. What's going to happen next year? I anticipate that the same thing is going to happen next year. I think we're going to see a mix of probably 6, 7, 8 transfer players coming in because of where the depth is. There's a lot of seniors on this team that are going to be leaving. How's that going to continue into the future? Well, we don't know on that because we're not exactly sure what the transfer portal, how that's all going to work out. But I will say this, if you just sit and look, and I have sat and looked, if you just look at the players that are coming in, certainly we lost our share of good players. Lost a lot of players that probably their happy's gone because they're going to be able to use those scholarships for something else. But if you look at the players that are coming in, they should be able to contribute, and probably several of them contribute at a high level here. So what's that mix going to be we're going to continue to be talking about this on these shows. Let's talk a little bit about, we got six commitments right now. Now, commitments are commitments, all right? Six high school players have committed to Tennessee. Got a quarterback. We got a running back. We got an offensive tackle. We got a tight end on offense. We got a defensive end and a linebacker on defense, all right? High school players. One of those players is from the state of Tennessee. Again, I will say this. I expect, and I think this staff expects, that they're probably going to end up, they'll be somewhere in the 10 range, 9, 10, 11 maybe, in-state players that will sign with Tennessee. I think Tennessee's sitting in very good shape on that. So the transfer portal will likely be big again next year. As I mentioned, we had 8 or 9 this year. And the portal likely players for 22, you know we're going to be recruiting a portal linebacker or two. You know we're going to be recruiting a couple of defensive backs out of the portal. Why? Because we got 4 seniors. I would suspect strongly we're going to be always be recruiting defensive tackles, but particularly next year. Why? Because we got 4 or 5 seniors. Same for the defensive end. So every position on defense, I think, is going to be have transfer portal players that we're probably going to be brought in again next year. I think that's the anticipation. That's expectation. Depth and other issues kind of point that out. Offensively, not so much. Probably offensive line because we got 4 seniors there, and probably tight end, maybe tight end, 2 seniors there. Now, the areas that are likely not, I don't see us bringing in transfers next year. There's wide receiver, running back, quarterback. In that entire group, we only have 1 senior, and that's Jones at a wide receiver area. So recruiting part of it, from what I hear, is going very well. You know, coaches are probably going to say it's going very well, and it is probably going very well. When December gets here, and the people have to, players, prospects have to put their name on a dotted line, that's when you find out for sure. But the big caveat, the big part of that is this season. And what happens this season, especially on the offensive side of the ball, but what happens this season is going to have a huge, the biggest effect on what this recruiting class for 2022 is going to look like, both from a transfer portal area and also from a high school area. Let me get a break. I want to come back and talk a little bit about what's going on in workouts. June has been an excellent month for this staff and this team with all the players up there in getting things installed. Remember, new staff, got new players coming in from both high school and transfer. They're all on campus, or the great majority on campus right now. I'm going to talk a little bit about that when we come back. Delta Dental of Tennessee, hey, you have dental insurance? If you don't, you probably need it. Hopefully you can get it. And I can tell you where I got it. When I was coaching, I had it. Institutions I was at. When I owned my own business, I had dental insurance. When I became self-employed, not so much. All of us know that your oral health is closely tied to your overall health. And Delta Dental of Tennessee has an individual plan that will suit you and your family. They have a bunch of them, a myriad, as I like to say. They got the plans that will cover almost anything that you need. You can pick and choose which one you want. You can go online at deltadentaltn.com. You can go to coveryourmouth.com. Almost every single plan covers 2 free exams and cleanings every year that the insurance pays for. And if, like me, you needed a little more work done, which I had to have this past year, Delta Dental covered well over 50% of it. Delta Dental of Tennessee. At deltadentaltn.com and coveryourmouth.com. June's been a key month. It's always a key month, but even more so this year, probably more so this year than any year in my recollection because of what happened last year, the COVID situation, all that. Well, we're past that point right now. Let me tell you the 2 key things that I have heard coming out of the athletic department football program right now that are so huge in June. June has been an excellent month in 2 areas. Number 1, on-campus recruiting. Lots of players coming through, prospects coming through, many of them with their families, camps, a lot of visitors there. And Tennessee is getting a lot of key recruits, both for the 22 and 23 season, that are coming through Knoxville now, spending time with the coaches, spending time with the academic people, spending time learning about the University of Tennessee. And on the flip side, those coaches learning about the prospects and their families coming through. It's been an excellent, excellent June. The month of June has been excellent as we've, 20 days through it right now. That's number one. And secondly is the off-season work in the passing game at the University of Tennessee, the indoor area and the outdoor area. I can't highlight how important that is this particular. It's always important. When you have a team that's coming back and you have coaching staff that's coming back and all that, you know your players. That wasn't true with this staff and the players there. And June has been an excellent month from that area, primarily in the passing game. Here's one thing that I am extremely confident of that we're going to see next year. Josh Heupel knows this offense. He's got three offensive coaches that have been with him, a couple of them a long time. Remember, he and Coach Halsey were both Oklahoma quarterbacks. They worked at Oklahoma together. They were, in Heupel's instance, Halsey didn't play a whole lot. Heupel was an outstanding quarterback. He knows this offense. Golish has been with him as a coordinator, Ellerby, the offensive line coach. So the one thing that I feel extremely confident about when we start the season next year, they're going to have this put together. You're going to see a complete offense out on the field. I've had several folks tell me the passing game remember the quarterbacks, the wide receivers, the running backs, the tight ends, they get a lot of great work working on timing. Timing is so key here. You know, when the ball is supposed to leave your hands, all those different things. You can work on that. That's the one area you can work on. Very difficult to work on pass protection for linemen, run blocking, run defense, all those different types of things. But the passing game, you can get a lot of major work done and watching, and I'm sure they're filming and taping all of this. The coaches I'm sure, up in their offices looking down, watching this, doing everything they can within the rules of it. But you can get major improvement here, and I think we're going to see major improvement here this summer. I don't think there's any question we're going to see that. You throw into that the fact that also defensive backs and linebackers are going to be out there covering some. So a lot of great work that Tennessee is getting from that right now. Here's a couple things about this offense to remember. And again, we know it's going to be fast-paced. We know it's going to be run of plays as quickly as you can. I have been told, I don't know if they ever did this or not, their goal, remember, you got once that whistle blows in an offensive play, you got 40 seconds to get the next one snapped. All right. I've been told that Coach Heupel's goal is to get it snapped within 10 seconds at the 30-second mark. Now, that is extremely difficult to do, but it's going to be fast-paced. I saw enough in this spring, and they were just kind of getting into it right now. But it's something you have to get used to. Yeah, defenses have to get used to, but offenses have to get used to it also. The key, of course, is the quarterback position. And kind of interesting to me, there's five quarterbacks on this team right now, all right? Of course, Milton is a new one coming in. But you take Maurer and Bailey and Hooker and Salter, none of those guys have left. And I kind of wonder why none of them have left, because there's nothing worse than being – well, the only thing worse than being the second-team quarterback is being the third-team quarterback or the fourth-team quarterback. My belief is from that tells me that all of these guys think they have a chance of being the quarterback. Now, Salter, probably because he didn't go through spring, maybe there's other reasons why he's there. But bottom line is there must be some really good competition there. As I mentioned in an earlier show, there's a reason why they brought Milton in. You can kind of theorize on that. I got my theory on it. We'll discuss it right now. But here's the thing about the quarterback in Heupel's offense. The quarterback does not have to be exceptional. It's great if he is, but he doesn't have to be exceptional. He's got to know the offense. He has to get the ball to where it needs to go, both in the running game and the passing game. This is a wide open offense that can do a lot of different things, running and throwing. He's going to have the ability with wide receivers who have talent catching the ball. He's going to have running backs who can have the ability to catch the football. That's what one of the commitments running back, one of his strong suits are, the one running back commitment they have so far. So all of that is what he is looking for. Does he have a good idea? I got to believe he has a good idea. And I'm talking about Coach Heupel, Coach Halsey. They have a good idea who is going to be the starter there, or at least going in, look like he's going to be the starter. But the big thing that I wanted to hit on this thing, the two key things, the big areas that have really been addressed and going strong right now this June, is the on-campus recruiting, and also the June workouts for the players, especially in the passing game on that. And, of course, on the recruiting end of it, I can just tell you this from doing it for you. You bust your butt in the summer, and then the season tells you what your recruiting is going to look like. Used to be in late signing day, but the early signing day, it now is in December. The season is going to really determine what kind of signing class you have. Doesn't have to be all in wins, but the type of program you're going to put out on the field and the impression that those prospects have made. There's a bunch of young men have been offered scholarships that have come through Tennessee and will be coming through in the last and in the remaining days of summer. There's been a bunch of them come through there, and they've either been impressed or they haven't been impressed, but they know what this staff is all about because this staff has done a good job of working with them on that. Let me get my last break out of the way and see if I have a little bit of time at the end. Double Dogs Restaurant, great food. I ate there yesterday, as a matter of fact, 2 days ago, excuse me, Friday, not yesterday. Great food. As I mentioned on yesterday's show, had an opportunity to watch a little of the U.S. Open, but yeah, 30-plus TVs. It's a sports bar, but it's a family sports bar. Sports bar probably a little bit too strong. So sports establishment has great food. Yeah, you can get the beverage of your choice, but great food. I had a salad yesterday. I was feeling a little guilty on what I'd done the night before. But bottom line, great place, good Tennessee folks. You can check out all the locations, two right here, doubledogs.biz, the website, but two of them right here in Nashville, Tennessee. Hillsborough Village, which is the one I go to, and over on Charlotte Pike. Quick break. We're right back. All right. That about does it for another show. I certainly appreciate you being part of it. Alan Cockrell for joining us. Ryan Albanese for producing. Tennessee, again, playing at 1 o'clock today. That's Central Time. Virginia is on ESPN2. You can also hear it here on 104.5 Zone. Coverage starts at 12:45 if you're out in your car, if you just want to listen. I think it's the Ball Network doing it. I'm pretty sure on that. Anyway, was going to get into a few other things today. I'll kind of put those off going forward. Again, I want to highlight the June workouts and the on-campus recruiting. I don't know what, you know, I don't know what the record is, if there is a record. They probably don't keep those stats. But there have been a lot of top players coming through, they and their families so far in June. I was going to talk about the My All campaign at the University of Tennessee, $500 million fundraising. I had touched on that last week, going to dig into that a little bit more because some interesting stuff going on. The two things that are really the projects that are planned and will be started as soon as this season's over all have to do with Neyland Stadium. But I'm going to bet you we have something coming out probably pretty quickly on at least a general idea of what the baseball facilities are going to look at like. I think we all got a pretty good idea why on that. All right. Thanks for being part of the show. Again, we will see you next Sunday right here for Big Orange Sunday, 8 o'clock Central Time. Have a great weekend and have a great Father's Day.